Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has slowly but surely He has allowed us and brought us to the great day, to the day which is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great, massive, a massive day. With regards to Dhul Hijjah, every day we have been discussing regarding the days and the nights, these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and now the day to come, tomorrow. And there is one hadith which is enough to praise and to define this day that is to come, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, greater than this day, there is no day that is greater than this day. There is no greater praise or definition or explanation about the day. Many days come during the year, many nights, many days, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there is no day greater than the day that is coming tomorrow. Closer to me, Allah ta'ala says, there is no day. This is the greatest day. Now this day, the day of Arafah, or Yawm al-Tasmiyah, or different ways people address, there are different statements, but the famous statement, the famous name, title Arafah, is an Arabic word, and the meaning of this is to recognize, to become aware. Now it is stated that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when he descended to the earth, then he was around Hindustan, the latter day India. And Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, she was in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia at that time, where we go for Umrah, we go to Saudi Arabia. And Allah Ta'ala sent her to that location, Jeddah. So both were seeking each other. Adam alayhi salam around the Indian subcontinent, looking for his wife, and she was looking for Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, looking for each other. They reached to a certain point. That maqam was Arafat in Mecca, just outside Mecca. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this hadith, it just say Arafat, that here both recognized each other, found each other. And the name of that place was then Arafat. So a great thing, a great incident that occurred. So it became a place of remembrance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then selected that earth, piece of earth, that place for a special event. So what was that special event due to which Allah ta'ala selected Arafat for the day of Arafah? And what was this special thing? That they both recognized each other. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was looking for Hawa, and Hazrat Hawa was looking for Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So Allah ta'ala selected that plane for the rest of time. How? Why? Because it is written by the commentators with regards to this, and I will present to you their meanings and their explanation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that place Arafat, the place of remembrance, Allah ta'ala called it Arafat. And after that, that plain of Arafat, that locality, that vicinity, Allah ta'ala announced to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam afterwards that people should come. People should come, and the ruh, the spirits of the people, those people who had to reach there, they knew Arafat, the plain of Arafat, it was detached from this world. Allah Ta'ala said, this is a special place. This dunya we live in, Allah Ta'ala said, detach it from this dunya. It's a special, unique place. Arafat, how? How is it a special and unique place? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to the ruh, labbaik, the ruh says labbaik, and selected people reached to that place. You see that the haji, when he gets ready, the haji 1 year before, he doesn't know, oh, we're going on hajj. Suddenly you'll hear from someone, I'm going to hajj. Oh, I'm going to go on hajj this year, or in a few weeks, or in a few months. And such people prepare and get ready for hajj. You could not imagine that they were going to go to hajj. There was no advanced preparation. Many people go to hajj, and you hear afterwards they went to hajj. They had no intention from before that they were going to go to hajj, to Allah's home. So this journey, this is the journey on invitation. It is written in the kitabs and the destiny that who is going to go. When the haji departs, the haji, his spiritual ruh, the condition of his ruh, his spiritual internal self is totally changed at that time. That we travel around the whole dunya, we travel around the world and the globe all year long, but this safar is unique and beautiful. Have you seen that people, when they go on a journey, they make good clothes, they buy good clothes, and for this clothes we have to take off our, for this journey we have to take off our clothes. This is an ajeeb safar. The person, when he goes on a normal journey, he makes clothes and he buys good shoes. But now for this journey, people, they've got slippers $199. They haven't even got clothes. And people say, no, you're going on a very great journey. You got cheap. Because no, show me that slippers $199, $299. Yeah? And the simple chappal, the simple slipper. And here you have people who are going, a millionaire haji, a king, the king of countries, the kings of lands, even they will have to come to that place in the same form and state. SubhanAllah. Have you ever seen such a journey? So what is the reason for this? Why is this safar like this? This is a unique point here. Unique points. Everyone's running. Poor, rich, king, rich man, poor man. And everyone is more or less naked. Hardly any clothes on. And everyone's going to the same plane. Everyone's free, detached from the dunya. And what is this journey? Allah Ta'ala is calling. Allah is calling? Ha! What a great invitation. Imagine the invitation. Imagine the da'wat. How much preparation there should be. But there's none. As the people get close to that journey, to that time, the clothes start to reduce. To this extent, there's so much control. Allah Ta'ala says, don't touch your body. Don't touch your beard. Don't cut your moustache. And don't cut your nails. Allah Ta'ala teaches the control. Don't wash your clothes. Beware. How dare you put the perfume on? Don't even put soap on which has perfume on it or fragrance on it. And keep your body simple. However dirty you are. And who's calling? Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the universe, is calling. And He's put the conditions out. And who are we going on the journey for? Whose guests are we? The Haji. What a great guest. And Allah Ta'ala is the host. And the guest, he is disheveled. Let's imagine an officer calls us. We'll go made up, nice clothes, clean clothes, ironed and smelling good. But Allah Rabbul Alameen is calling, beware. I don't want you to be made up. No new clothes, no cleanliness, no fragrance. No, just come as my slave. That's what I want you to be. Allah Ta'ala says, I want bandagi, I want servanthood. I don't need your makeup, your nicely, neatly ironed clothes and beautiful clothes and shoes. Allah Ta'ala says, all the status and rank and power you've got in the dunya, leave it in your homes, in your lands, because now you're coming to my land, and in my land there's no status and rank elevation or anything like that. So now Haji Sahab, mashallah, he's doing tawaf, he's drinking zamzam, he's changed his halat, his condition, he's done umrah, safa, marwa, sa'i. Then eventually the day comes like the night that just passed, the night of the 8th of Dhul Hajj. And tonight is the night of 9th of Dhul Hajj, Yawmul Arafah. This is the night of Arafah, the night before the great day of Hajj. So everybody is now sitting in Mina, the Hajjis. MashaAllah, old men, young men, youth, middle aged, little kids will be there as well. 1 year old child, 8 to 9 months year old children are also there. Their parents take them. Everyone's there. And who's prepared? Allah Rabbul Alameen is the host. Who are the guests? They are the guests of the Khaliq, the great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. And how great the Hajis are who are there waiting. So now what's happening? Allah Ta'ala has dragged them, brought them, invited them, and tomorrow they will go to that plain, Arafat. Yes? Arafat. Allah Ta'ala says the place of recognition, identification. So now comes the point that we need to understand, that the whole value of tomorrow and that place of Arafat and those people who will come together and gather, alhamdulillah, and all of those people who are there now, the Hajis, who have been given great rank and status, and they're elevated, the rich and the poor, they are same on the equal footing. What is the reason for this? What is the reason? The purpose? Why was the name given for that place? Arafat. Who recognized? As Adam alayhi salam and Hawa recognized each other, husband and wife. This was the story, isn't it? So tonight, tomorrow, the Haji that will reach there, who has reached there, they will reach with the same purpose. Who are those people? Allah Ta'ala says, this is the same plane of Arafat. And these also are the people who will recognize. These are those people who have recognized me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've recognized me. This is a special class of people who are there tomorrow. They have recognized me, their Lord, their Creator. Remember this point. And the people are behind. With this dunya we've left after Arafat, the people are in Makkah, Medina. Who are those people? They are those who are not who have recognized Allah. Allah Ta'ala, they are those who believed me. Who believe? One is those who recognize. So the one who believes is one, and the one who recognizes is another. So the Hajis have left the believers behind. But when they reach to Arafat, they become those who recognize and have become aware of Allah. They know Allah. They know Allah. Allah said, they now know me. They don't just believe in me, they know me personally. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of Arafat, firstly, yes, that Allah Ta'ala says, I come close to the dunya. so close. Allah comes to the lowest heaven on the day of Arafat. And Allah Ta'ala looks at those people who are on the plain of Arafat. And Allah Ta'ala is proud with all the angels. Allah Ta'ala addresses the angels. What does Allah Ta'ala say to the angels? Allah says, these are those people, these hajjis on Arafat, subhanAllah, glory be to Allah. These are those people who are today collected and gathered in Arafat. Who are these people? These people, they are waiting, they are hopeful for my rahmah, my mercy, and they are hopeful that my azab will not come, and they fear my azab. Two qualities Allah mentions about the hajjis. These are those who know me, and there are two qualities about those who know Allah, who've recognized Allah, that they are hopeful of my rahmah, my mercy, and they are fearful of my azab, my punishment, of my punishments. And this is what the Hajji does tomorrow. And this is his job. This is his action. The true Hajji. This is what he will take with him. Two things he will do. He will say, Allah, I appeal you for your rahmah, mercy, and Allah, I present my sins. Allah, don't punish me. Every Hajji in his heart, he has this one point. Fear of Allah, he is afraid of his sins. And he says, Allah, don't bring your azab to me. Allah, don't throw me into Jahannam. Allah, I've committed big sins. And for forgiveness, for salvation, to get out. To get out, what does the Hajji do? He says, Allah, I await your mercy, your rahmah. And he says, Allah, I do dua, I'm waiting for your rahmah, your mercy. For every Hajji, the key point tomorrow is this. And the asal, the genuine, the real Hajji is this, who inside him, in his heart, has these two desires. That is the Hajji. That's the true Hajji, who has these two desires, who has these desires present on the day, and he presents them, and then he turns back from Arafat with these two emotions. Allah's rahmah, mercy, and the fear of Allah in the heart. When a person turns back from Arafat with these two things, then he's recognized Allah, and he now knows his Lord. And these are the arifain, arif billah, those who recognize Allah, who know Allah, who are aware of Allah. So when the two feelings come, two emotions come into a believer, one, he's hopeful of Allah's rahmah, mercy, and B, he has khawf of Allah's rahmah. There's khawf of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. And due to that khawf, he saves himself from the sins for the rest of his life. And due to rahmah, that person, due to Allah's mercy, he's not hopeful of his deeds. He commits amal, he implements amal, deeds, but he never thinks that I'm going to be forgiven due to these. He knows that he's going to be forgiven due to Allah's mercy. This is the daraja, the rank. When these two darajat come, these feelings come into a person's heart, then he's given the title Arif Billah, because he's recognized Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the Creator. That's why I stated Arafah, because the Hajji Sahibain, our colleagues, the Hajjis, when they go there, if they have these emotions and they turn back from Arafah, then he becomes the Arifin, he becomes the Arif Billah, he's recognized Allah, and that's why it's called Arafah, the day of Arafah. Only those people come in who recognize Allah, who know Allah. So what's this message? This is also for us. A, we're hopeful of Allah's tawbah, of Allah's rahmah, and B, we fear Allah Ta'ala's punishment. So we should create, we should inculcate these feelings and emotions into our hearts, the ma'rifah of Allah, Allah's nearness. Always we should be hopeful of Allah's rahmah, mercy. Yes, we are servants, we do ibadah, but we trust in Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy is going to come. So when we have this, then we will never be proud. The kabbar will never come to me, because the biggest crime a human being can commit after shirk, after polytheism, assigning partners to Allah, which Allah Ta'ala will not set us free from, will Allah will not forgive, is takabbur. Pride, it is such a solid sin. And just like the spider, you know, the scorpion, the spider, the ant that it crawls within the darkness in the cracks, when kibar comes through the cracks into the heart, and we think that we are forgiven, no. When we say, Allah, your rahmah, is that what will overwhelm everything, not my deeds, then he's never proud of his deeds. He has never shows off, never thinks he's something, he's better than others. He considers himself humble, humility, lower than others. Extreme humility, he says, Allah, my deeds are nothing. Always his hands are raised, Allah, your rahmah will forgive me, nothing else will save me. Allah, I have nothing, I'm not learned, I'm not knowledgeable, I'm not practicing. This is the first thing, to hope in Allah's mercy. And the second emotion we should develop is that we have khawf in Allah. You never think, oh Allah, this is a small thing. No, Allah, this sin is a mountain. The sin, it pinches person like a mountain. Just like, you know, if you're sleeping on the mattress and a pin, it pinches you. That's why a sin, even if we call it a so-called small sin, it pinches that person all day, all night. And only when will that happen? When he has whole fear of Allah in his heart. So this is the point, brothers, that we have to work on. Alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala call us also to that plane of Arafat. Make us an arif. And that is the true Hajji. That is the truth. You know, we say Haji and Hajj is accepted. You know, after Hajj, the person returns like the newborn baby who's just been born from the womb of the mother. This is not some common man. Only those people have these emotions. A, who recognize Allah, who become, they know Allah. Not just that they believe in Allah, but they've recognized Allah. They know who Allah is now. They've forged that contact with Allah. Yes? So this is the definition of recognition, that the Haji raises his hands. He says, Allah, I'm a sinner. Allah, I've sinned, I've come in front of you today. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Allah, I'm hopeful in your mercy. Allah, I'm fearful of your punishment. So this is the position. This is the day tomorrow. And this is the same for all of us. The greatest day, Arafah. What a great day. If the day is so great, then tell me, then how great will be the night before it? Remember, when the day is about to come, that's great. Then the night is azeem due to the connection with that day. So today is the night of Arafah. And alhamdulillah, we are sat here. We are sat in Masjid Zakariya. And alhamdulillah, we are doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ah, subhanAllah. What a great, great situation. What a great night. On one point, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited a dua in this night for the ummah. For the nation of the Muslimin, for the whole Ummah. What was that dua? The, oh Allah, this night is valuable, so precious. Allah knows best. Allah's Rasul some knew best. The asal, the genuine marifa, the nearness to Allah. We don't know this. We cannot recognize. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew how great this night was. And in this azim night, the Prophet of Allah didn't ask for nothing else. He asked for his Ummah. For his nation, he didn't ask for himself. SubhanAllah, what a Nabi. Our Nabi. Whenever he asked for his Ummah. Whenever he asked for the Ummah, then consider these were those moments which were most precious in the eyes of Allah. Because when Allah's Nabi asked for his Ummah, then they were the days and the times and the seconds of acceptance, and he would always ask for his Ummah at that time. So Allah's Nabi always asked for his Ummah on the days and the nights and the moments of acceptance. Allah's Nabi knew that this is the best opportunity, the best night. Allah Ta'ala's Rahmah has awakened. Let me ask for my Ummah. So Rasulullah spoke straight to Allah, straightforward. Allah, Allah, until the day of Qiyamah, all the believers that will come, my ummatis, Allah, forgive all of them. Forgive all of them, subhanAllah. What a great night. What a great night. This is the night of celebration, forgiveness. Rasulullah asked for forgiveness for the whole ummah until the day of Qiyamah. So tell me, such a great night and such a great dua. And who asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest Nabi, and Allah, the Lord of the universe, will give, and we will attain that dua. So subhanAllah, tell me what a great night this is. Is this the night to sleep? Is this the night to bicker or to chit chat and gossip or waste time and play games or waste time with nonsense talk? Or to play games, or to just pass the time until Isha was this night? No, no, subhanAllah. This is the night for the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. The Quran says this, the most beloved amal, the greatest action for Allah is the dhikr of Allah. Whenever there are great days, nights, beautiful seconds, beautiful days, Allah Ta'ala drags us to one action, wadhkurullah kathiran, do my dhikr, in abundance. So alhamdulillah, we are so grateful we've grabbed that. That practice with the Father of Allah, me, you were sitting in Allah Ta'ala's headquarters in his home in the masjid. Sit close, sit with satisfaction, sit happily with beauty, and don't sit tired. What am I doing here? Sit happy. SubhanAllah. Allah's rahmah is descending. Allah's called us to his home. Allah's fadl and his mercies are raining down on us. He's listening to our call. We're saying, Hasbunallah. Allah's answering, go. I am your Rabb. I am your Wakil. Hasbunallah, I am your wakil. Allah says, I'll see who can spoil you, who can be against you, who will try to wipe you, who will try to take you away from whatever you want. If you call to me in the night of Arafat, on the night that Rasulullah asked for his ummah, you're saying Hasbunallah, then I'll become your wakil, Allah Ta'ala says. I'll become your wakil. What a great bargain. What a great sale this night. What a great purchase. So what was I saying when I started to speak? That Allah, we could have called a guest. We could have given dawah to someone. Just like all day long, we call people with our children. We could have gone out. Oh, tonight's a great night. Let's go to this person's house. Or let's go to a takeaway restaurant. Just a few hours, we could have wasted our time. Just a few, what's the time now? Just a few hours. After a few hours, the night will finish. So the true human being is he who grabs the moment. The true human being, the genuine human being, always in his life, he says, ah, I mean, this time now, get everything back. Get everything, push everything back. Throw all the waste away. Don't want to waste my time. These few hours, let me spend my time like this. Was Allah Ta'ala is now waiting for me. And if I get or not, Allah Ta'ala knows best. So this is such a beautiful and precious night with this link that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did a dua. What a great dua. Straightforward dua. Allah, no conditions. Allah, save my ummah. Forgive my ummah. And what is the answer that came from there? What is the answer that came from here? What is the answer that came from here? Allah Ta'ala says, oh my Mahbub, says, what did you ask for? You could have put some condition down. Okay, you've asked, so I've forgiven everybody, Allah Ta'ala says. Everybody are forgiven. So here there's one condition Allah Ta'ala has put down. There is, but except for one person who will not be forgiven. So at this point we need to look at, if tonight we want forgiveness, then we need to pay attention to this condition. Allah Ta'ala has given the hint. Look at this point. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in this night, such a great night, even still Allah Ta'ala has disclosed the action that He does not like. How dirty an action that must be. How wretched an action that must be if it's within us. If that quality is within us, we should do tawbah from that thing tonight. Now. And we should stand after doing tawbah, because Allah Ta'ala wants us to be forgiven, and we will do tawbah. That will we do it? Say inshallah. I speak to myself, mashallah, you brothers are pious, you've done tawbah. I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. You are, mashallah, pure, good, clean people. Will I stand after doing tawbah? And so inshallah you can be included in that, but I'm speaking to myself, I'm not addressing you. Mashallah, you're good brothers, pious brothers. I'm speaking to myself. Tonight if I say no, I'm not going to leave this sin, I'm not going to leave this wretched action, then can there be a more jahil, ignorant person than that person who rejects today? Doesn't matter what happens, whatever maqam a person is, an alim or wali or muhadith, if he listens to this message and he rejects this message, he is the most foolish and mad person in the world. Nothing will help him on this night. We have to understand one point today. When Rasulullah said, Allah forgive my ummah, Allah said, I have forgiven your ummah, O my Nabi Muhammad, except that person who's got this quality. If he's got that quality in him and he doesn't finish it, he doesn't wipe it away, then there couldn't be no one more foolish than me. It doesn't matter if I'm a sheikh or a hazrat, I'm an alim, a scholar or whatever. Allah Ta'ala says, you are zero upon zero because you rejected my condition. Isn't it? So what was that point that Allah Ta'ala had laid down? The condition that except for this person, except this action. What was that action? That point that those people who do dhulam against each other, who oppress each other, Allah Ta'ala says, I've forgiven the whole ummah. Allah Ta'ala says, my link with my servants, the person who sinned against me, who opposed me, who rejected me. I'm speaking easy Urdu with you. Allah Ta'ala says, the person who played games with me, who rejected me, who sinned against me. Okay, my Nabi Muhammad, you asked dua for them. Okay, I'll forget my servants who sinned against me, who broke my rights and my rules. Until today, whatever he's done until today, I will forget, Allah Ta'ala says, and I will forgive. But Allah Ta'ala says that your ummah, you love your ummah so much, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you love your ummah so much, so I also love my creation just like you love your ummah. And dhulam, why does the creation oppress another part of the creation? If I put somebody high and somebody low, if somebody I've given some more wealth and somebody less wealth, or somebody is dependent on another human being, for example, somebody is a subordinate to another person, or is inferior to another person who's superior, then he should be shakir and grateful to the ni'mah I've given him. But instead of that, he breaks the rights of people, he takes the rights from people, he oppresses people. Allah says, on this night, I will not forgive that human being who breaks the rights of other people, who takes the rights of other people, who looks down at other people, who sniggers at other people. Allah says, every human being is a hakim. And somebody again will be lower than, for example, a husband is a hakim over his wife and his children. And if he breaks the rights of his family, he doesn't give to them, provide for them, or he does actions against Sharia's boundary, outside of the Sharia boundary, or he obeys his nafs, his desires, then there's no bigger dhalim than that person, Allah says. Yes, the husband is the hakim on his wife and children. If he doesn't mete out justice to his wife or to his children, or he breaks the rights of the wife and the children, which are laws and compulsion on him, and he gives the rights to other people, and he gives priority to other people, and he breaks the rights of his wife and children, Allah says, today I will not forgive that man. Doesn't matter how big a Sufi is. He can be a dhakir, do dhikr, and be an alim or a scholar. He can be a peer, a sheikh. He is nothing, he is zero. Rather straight, he will go into the pit of Jahannam with this quality. This night, if he's not forgiven, he has no chance of success. And this is common in our society today, where we have a little bit of power and strength and energy. Ah, I'm powerful, I'm the best, I can do what I want. Whatever I do, I'm going to do. I'm the husband, I am this person, I'm that person, I'm powerful, I'm better than this person. This is not justice. Allah says, justice is in my hand, and due to justice, I made Sharia. Allah Ta'ala says, Sharia, Islam, the boundaries of Islam, Allah Ta'ala sent to this world so that justice can be distributed and injustice can be wiped out. Every man, every woman in the world is a hakim. You're in office, you're the hakim, you're the boss, and the employees that are under you. You're in a shop, you're in a place of work, or let's take relations in the home, in the house. The biggest hakim a person becomes at that time when he gets married and brings the woman to his home. He becomes the hakim, and he has the hukumat at that time, the kingdom, and then he has to start to mete out the justice in his home. Isn't this the case? So the biggest question will be asked on the day of judgment. The biggest question, Yeah, Allah Ta'ala will raise them and, ah, you were the hakim. What did you do? Allah, I did dhikr, I used to do tasbih, I used to pray tahajjud in the night, I used to pray nafal salah, nafal fast, I was a alim, I was a scholar, I used to give speeches. Allah said, give me the answer for this question. That man's about to come and he will ask you that this person did dhulm against me, he oppressed me, he will stand against you. So answer this question, Allah says, so today if we don't do tawbah for the oppression, those people whose rights we have broken, we have to do tawbah. Don't be embarrassed. Today, grab the feet of your wife and tomorrow you'll be forgiven. Ask your wife for forgiveness. The rights you've broken, or other people in the world whose rights you've broken, your uncle, or the uncle cannot give the rights to anyone. Everyone has different rights. We have to distribute those rights. So if the rights are there and they are due, we have to give the rights. Allah Ta'ala says, don't do injustice. And if you're not admitting that you've broken the rights that you had to give to other people, remember dhulam, the definition of dhulam is not to admit something. In other words, not to admit that you have not given the haq to the person who deserved the haq. This is another definition. Ask the scholars. The definition of dhulam in Islam is that haq, the right that was due to someone and you don't accept it, even that is dhulam. Even that is dhulam. Forget about not giving it, but not to accept it. The biggest zalim will wake on the day of judgment is that the person who didn't accept and believe in Allah, who accepted, didn't accept that he was not believing Allah. So dhulam means not to accept. Forget about not giving. Allah Ta'ala said, I will accept, I will persevere, I will turn a blind eye on everything. But where a person does dhulam, he oppresses and breaks the rights, where there's a kingdom of dhulam, a land of dhulam oppression, Allah says, I will not allow the zalim to be on the earth. I wipe away the zalim, the oppressor. This is the punishment. And the rest, forget about it. If you see disobedient people eating, drinking, kingdoms, lands, disobedient, do what they want. But where dhulam comes, Allah Ta'ala says, oppression, even if that person believes in Allah and prays to Allah, and injustice has come into that land, even if he believes in Allah, Allah says, that person, that hakumat, that kingdom, I will keep those people who don't believe in me. Aha, subhanAllah. Imagine this. Allah says, those people who disbelieve, but there's justice there. Allah says, their lands will stay and be existent. But those people who believe in me, and they do dhulum, Allah says, I'll wipe those nations away. I'll wipe those nations away. I'll give them adab, punishment, because I love my creation. And if you oppress my creation, Allah says, I don't like this. So this is the night, my friends. So this is the point. Beautiful chance we have. Beautiful chance at this moment we can do tawbah, that if we've oppressed somebody, we've usurped their rights, we haven't given them their rights, what's due to them, we've done bad to them, we've hurt their feelings, we've taken from them, then this will destroy us on the day. We accept, honest, look, I've done wrong, I've got to give you rights today, please forgive me, I've got to give the rights to this person, to this person, to this person. You go to them, you accept, you ask for forgiveness. It's not difficult. Lower yourself, humble yourself. Accept your wrongs, and the person who doesn't accept his wrongs is a zalim and foolish person who doesn't accept. He's coming to the definition of the zalim. He is opposing Allah, and Allah has made a law, and he says, no, my law is better, my thinking is better, my way is better, I can't do this, I'm not going to bow down, I'm not going to ask forgiveness. If we can do this, then subhanAllah, both people will be inside. So it's better that both are saved. Do what is Allah Ta'ala's hukam. It's not difficult. So do this today. Will we do this? Inshallah. Say inshallah. Say it loudly. Will we do tawbah? Inshallah. Inshallah, we will not do dhulam. We will not oppress anyone after today. We won't break the people's rights after today. We promise Allah today. And please include us with those people to whom Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah save and forgive my ummah today. And Allah Ta'ala announced and responded, I have forgiven them. So my brothers, this is the night. Precious night. Beautiful night. Night of worship. And the rest, mashallah, we have discussed already about keeping the fast on Arafah day, and tomorrow's day, pass it in a nice way. And there's no special ibadah for tomorrow, but the biggest ibadah worship is this, that do those actions that are being done in Arafah tomorrow. The hajis who have recognized Allah, who know Allah, imitate them. Imitate them, because they are azeem, great people, they're on the hajj. They are there. Allah says, these are my guests, special, selected guests. And Allah says, I'm their host. And I will treat them, and these are not normal people, these are people who have recognized me. They are not those who believe, they know me, they recognize me. That's why they're crying in front of me. That's why they're afraid of me. They're hopeful of my mercy. And that's why they're doing tawbah at this moment in time. As long as before they came, they believed in me. They're walking out in the earth, messing about, sinning. But today they've recognized me, they know me. Now they're crying, Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive me. They've recognized my power. Every haji is crying. Isn't it? What does the haji do? Every haji is crying and shrieking and lamenting. What's mawquf? Mawquf. Arafah. Yeah, Maqoof in Muzdalifah. They're standing, their hands are raised high. Allah forgive. Allah forgive. There's no ibadah tomorrow, no salah, no nafal. What a big plane. Allah says, don't do nothing. Do this nafal, do this tasbih, this many rak'ah, talawa, Quran, fast. No, everything's finished for the hajjis tomorrow. Just one action, stand on the plane of Arara, recognize me. Why? For you have to recognize me, what's the point? What's the point? When you recognize me and you know me, then your breath will come out and say, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. And I said, this is what I love, that you are included with Arifin. And every Haji comes back as an Arifin. Subhanallah. Because he's recognized his Lord. And that person who doesn't recognize the Lord, then he does not know. He has not achieved. He won't pray Salah. He doesn't know what is sin, what is the punishment, what is the boundary. He says, oh, I leave Fajr. This Salah I leave. And he says, I'm a Haji. And he says, I'm distressed. You are distressed because you've not recognized your Lord. You've recognized your Lord. You believe in Allah, but you've not recognized your Lord because you keep on leaving the faraid. So this is not recognizing, knowing, recognizing with the contact. The person who's recognized the Lord, the rest of his life when he returns. The laws of Allah, the boundaries of deen, he spends his life within the boundary. So these are the arifin, the friends of Allah. The wali Allah who's recognized Allah, who knows Allah, who's got the relationship with Allah, not those who believe. And that's why they're so cautious about doing the sins. They are so cautious about ibadah and worship because they've recognized Allah. They know what Allah says in the Quran, that all night long they toss and turn. Quickly, quickly, I want to get up in the third part of the night and prostrate to Allah because they've recognized Allah. Like who do we recognize today? Our shops, our notes, our dollars, our money, our mal, our currency. If mal's gone, I won't sleep all night. If the money comes, I'll be happy. This shop is, oh, it's worth a lot of hundreds of thousands. And this many thousands I earn a week and a month. And the muhabbat, it comes so much in our heart that we stay awake all night for money. We beat people, fight people, we argue with people. We'll run around the dunya, we'll leave food, we'll get tired, we'll sacrifice our energy. But the person who recognizes Allah, he does saim. He fasts. He fasts in the day and he does qiyam and prayer in the night. And this is the story of his life. Beautiful, because he's recognized his Rabb and we've recognized dunya. We've recognized the world. We run after the dunya and money and muhabbat and mal and shop and assets and status and property. And we'll leave salah during the day. We'll leave prayer for the taqa. You know the taqa. You know the currency. Look at how big this masjid is. And the azan is called Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah. Whose call is this? Who's calling? Allah is calling out. If my friend gets a missed call on my phone, if I get a missed call on my phone, I'll become mad. Oh, he's phoned me. Oh, quickly ring it back. Oh, he's missed call. Straight away, I'll in my salah. Soon as I finish salah, put the phone on. Tick. Put the button on. How many calls, missed calls, messages, respond. And here Allah saying, Hayya ala salah. Is this not Allah Ta'ala's call? And what do? We're standing in the masjid. Ting. £5, 10, £5, 20 pounds, 50 pounds. Across the road, the bazaar is open. And no one comes to the masjid. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala falah. And if we were people of mu'mins, if we were believers, we would recognize Allah and be aware of Allah. That I've not recognized my Lord. These people have recognized. They're going to the prayer. Look how they're listening to Allah. That there's no one to close the shop today. There's no authority to close the shop today. Bring down the shutters. But so much khawf has come into the heart. He's recognized his Lord. He cannot imagine he's going to stay sitting at his desk and the missed call of Allah is coming and he's running, he's still counting his money, doing phone calls. He has hatred for those actions. That time when Allah is calling out, Hayya ala salah, he says, this is not even worth a taka. He puts the shutters down, padlock, he does wudu and prays salah in the front row. This is called the person who's recognized Allah, the haji, what he's doing now. So when we don't recognize Allah, then our life will be worse than the dogs. We'll be worse than the dogs. We'll beg to people, run after people, we'll have illnesses, depressions, worries, issues. We'll become idol worshippers. There'll be idols in our hearts. We'll have blackness in our money, worries, running around in the dunya, status, power. And we'll be running after all the glory of the world. Money will be high, whether it's work of the deen, whether it's work of the dunya, whether it's Islam. First of all, say, how much money is he going to give me? How much is he going to pay me? How much am I going to get promoted? How much will I get status? Is he going to give me superiority? Is he going to give me the authority? This is what is called dunya. Allah says, no, arafa. This person does la arafa, Allah says. This is not the person who recognizes. Am I right? Learn this lesson from the haji. The hajis have been called. They are selected people. Allah has brought them to a plain, the maidan, where Hazrat Adam alayhi salam found his wife, Hazrat Hawa. They recognized each other. So the haji goes there to who? Recognize his Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we should, here, sitting here, recognize Allah. And we can make every place arafat. Wherever you're sitting and you recognize Allah, that becomes arafat with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great, my brothers. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Life, there's no guarantee. This night is the greatest. Recognize Allah now. Recognize your Lord now. Allah is shadeedul iqab. Allah is the one with the rahma azim. So both things, Allah Ta'ala, we should have in our hands. That Allah, we will not disobey you. We will not leave salah. We will not oppress. We will not kill people's rights. We won't say bad things to people. Whatever orders Allah has given, we're going to live our life according to that. And the biggest hukum Allah has given is pray salah. Salah, don't leave salah. Don't be lazy of salah. And the biggest hukum after that, atiur rasul, the imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. Remember, this is deenul Islam. Deen is simple. Atiullah wa atiur rasul faqad faza fawzan azima. Allah says there's no third thing. Allah's orders in the shape of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his imitation, ittaba. That's it. That's Islam. One sentence summary. The greatest scholar has these two things. The greatest Sufi has these two things. The greatest mufakkar, speaker has these two things. What? Atiullah wa atiur rasul, Allah's order and practice in the imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No third knuckle, no copying anybody else. That's it. There's no other way. You can't even think. Don't even imagine copying anyone else. You imagine one thing only, to copy the Prophet Muhammad. Eating, drinking, standing, walking, sleeping, talking, journey, lying down, meeting people, discussion, transaction, work, job, employment. Not one second of your day should be opposite or different to the Prophet Muhammad. That's why these two things come. When these two things come, Allah announces, he now is not a believer now. Now he is the Arifin. He has recognized me. So should we do this or not, brothers? Should we not struggle? Time is short. Time is short. We need to struggle in our life. There's no guarantee in life. Today make niyyah. Make intention, and from tomorrow we'll take the strides. Whatever's lacking in my life, I don't follow the Prophet Muhammad, I'll change my life from today. We know that Rasulullah Sunnah is this, and I'm not doing it. From today or tonight I'm going to start. Should we do this or not? Yes. Everything in your life, A to Z, bring in conformity with the Sunnah. Not hard. Barakah upon barakah upon. Where you see, I'm not doing this Sunnah, I'm leaving this. First ask yourself in the mirror, why am I leaving this Sunnah? What's the reason for this? Why? Question mark. Stand in front of the mirror. Ask yourself that. You are doing this action. You know what is the standard of the Sunnah for this action. Why are you leaving this? Why do you think your way is better? Why are you wandering around in the dunya? Ask yourself in the mirror, why am I not practicing this Sunnah? Ask yourself, and the answer will come from within your heart. That I have not recognized who is the Prophet Muhammad. I don't even know who he is. If I knew who he was, how great he was, I would imitate him every second. Every second. I have recognized an actor in the world, and I'll copy him, an actor in the world. I'll imitate. Don't people imitate actors? There's an actor, he's famous, he wants his hairstyle pulled back, gel, and walk like him, dress like him. They love the actor, in awe of the actor. Their jaws drop on seeing the actor. So we don't even have the awe for our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine this. Allah's Nabi, the greatest Nabi. We are not proud of him. We don't love him. We don't want to imitate him. What is our life? Will we depart from this world in this way? Allah says, you are not even in awe of the Prophet. You don't even know who he is. You've not even recognized him yet. No effect of his life has come into you. His love in your heart. Such the great shakhsiyat. Allah says, how have I praised him? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says that he's not for you, the human beings, for the whole universe he has come as rahmah. Subhanallah, not for you Muslims, from Adam to the end, from Adam alayhi salam to the final human being on the earth who will ever live. He was the imam of all the prophets. Were in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. He went on the ascension to the heaven. 1, 2, 3. He was introduced to all the prophets. And where did he come? Allah said, I called him to me and he met me. This is who your Nabi is. Such a great Nabi, the greatest human being. The greatest Nabi after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, through him we've learnt about Allah. We're ashamed of imitating him. So here we realize our iman is very extremely weak. Extremely weak our iman is. Extremely dangerous situation. So this long discussion I'm doing, because it's an important night. All the mistakes we got to wipe away today. Tonight, don't lose out on this night, brothers. Don't lose out. This night, if we lose out tonight, then we'll be written in the list of the losers. There's no greater night than this. There's no greater day than this tomorrow. No greater day. So we have to make our lives tonight. That's why the night of making. That's why I'm going into detail. That promise today to Allah. Allah, we're not going to imitate anyone else in our lives from today. Apart from who? The greatest human being. The greatest who ever came. The greatest power. The greatest human being in both worlds. This dunya and the hereafter. Whose title is Habibullah. The beloved of Allah. Allahu Akbar. The greatest human being. And we leave his imitation. And we say his name. مَنْ رَغَبَ مَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever leaves my sunnah is not from me. He cannot be with me. If you've left my deen, then you have no link with me. How will you have my shifa? How will you have my intercession? How can you claim to be my lover? How can you be my ashik? Said Rasulullah. If you are ashamed of knowing my nakal, Allah says, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Allah's order in the Quran in the Quran. And this is the condition. Allah says that you have to imitate Rasulullah, and you're ashamed, and you think it's you're being degraded by following the Sunnah? You think people will laugh at you? That you are inferior? You consider yourself low in the world if you're imitating the Prophet Muhammad? That in the society your respect will degrade? It will degrade. The person who does not recognize Rasulullah, he is disrespected in the world. And the person who follows Rasulullah, his respect is elevated. And who are those who know Rasulullah? The people who know Rasulullah are who? Imagine. Who? The whole universe knows the Prophet Muhammad. The whole universe will recognize you. Just a person in the world who doesn't know what is a spider, what is X, Y, Z, what is haq and truth. We're worried about those people. We're ashamed. We should be ashamed that the rest of the creation doesn't recognize. Never feel ashamed on practicing the sunnah. I tell you this now. Never hesitate on following the sunnah. Never stop. Never hesitate. Never be embarrassed. Allah says, I don't like this. A person who is embarrassed, who stops, who thinks, should I follow this sunnah? Or people are going to laugh at me. What people are going to say? Allah says, this is sunnah. Straight away, jump into this action. Say, subhanallah, I'm going to do this action. This is the greatest treasure and reward. I didn't know this was the sunnah. I've learned. Ask those sahaba. Allahu Akbar. Qaddu. Pumpkin. Pumpkin. We call this in our language, dudi. Has it got any haysiyat, any status? But the sahaba said, Qaddu Sharif. Why? Because Rasulullah ﷺ loved it. He liked it. They used to die for eating this. And today, the whole line of liked this, preferred this, he ate this. This is love. This is qadr. This is appreciation. We've left our biggest actions. We've left our whole life. We've left our whole framework. Our whole life framework. You can't even recognize this person Muslim. Allah forgive, Allah forgive. If we die on the street, they'll say, is this a Muslim? Or which religion does this person follow? Because our identity, our signs, there's no signs on us. Very straightforward Islam religion, brothers. Very straightforward religion. Take two things. First of all, take one thing. Let's start from the bottom. That there's nothing in our life that should be against the sunnah. And if we're embarrassed, stopping, hesitating, thinking, then consider you are mad, you are foolish, you are not a mu'min yet. When that time comes, jump into the sunnah. If people are laughing in your face, let them laugh in your face. You're laughing in my face, I'm laughing at you. You are a stupid person. You don't even understand what is the sunnah. Your akal is gone, your intellect is gone. You don't even know who I'm imitating, you foolish person. You're asking for proof from me? Dalil, where is it written? Why is it important? This is not necessary. He says, stop, forget the zaruri, unnecessary. Where it's written, Rasulullah did this, I don't need to know. Is it necessary, important? Whatever rank you give it, I'm going to do it. Because the sahaba did like this. Say subhanallah again, loudly. Subhanallah, because these are beautiful words of the Prophet Muhammad, our master. If you obey the Prophet Muhammad, then we are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. This is the point. What a great poem. What a great couplet. That this is not something to know about. Allah ta'ala says, if you imitate my Habib, then you will write your own destiny with your own pen. Not from above in the heavens. Allah ta'ala says, you will become so beloved to me that I will give you the pen in your hand. Whatever you want, it will occur. Whatever you want, it will occur. Aha. And that's why the walis of Allah, they raise their hands and say, Allah, let the rain come. Allah, the drought has come. And then he raises his hands. Allah says, you wanted this? Why? Because you are the ashik of my Nabi Muhammad. You love him. That's why I love you, Allah ta'ala says. That's why I love you. Is this not the condition? Allah says, I'll give you the pen. You write your own destiny and make your taqdeer. Why? Because you imitated my Habib. You followed my Habib. This is the reason of the Sahaba having the greatest status, and the Walis of Allah, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'een, they had nothing else. They had no wealth, attire, asset, nothing. For Rasulullah, they loved him, ishq, to the depth of their hearts. They loved him so much. Everything for them was the Prophet. Why are you crying? Oh Sahaba, we're crying for this reason. We cry for the dunya. And why were they crying? The Sahaba, one Sahaba was crying in the corner. Why are you crying? I'm crying for this reason. Why are you crying? Are you sick? Have you got no food or bread? He said, forget the food and the bread and the world. He said, I'm crying for this reason that I'm seeing now, that if I could see the Prophet Muhammad, when my heart is a bit afraid, I go straight away and I see the face of the Prophet Muhammad. But when I pass away, where will my Nabi be? And I am a sinner, where will I be? So where will I see and find him and look at him at that time? He was crying at that time. The pain came, and the Jibreel as-salam came straight away then. That whoever you love, you will be with that person in the hereafter. Is this not the Quranic verse? Allah revealed that verse due to his pain. What a great darjah. So tonight, make a solid promise, robust promise to yourself. Bring your life into the naqal, the imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever is lacking in your life, and don't be ashamed. If you're ashamed, there's no iman, because that iman will not give you nothing in the day of judgment. Any lacking for the love, ishq, itaat, imitation, obedience, and especially on this point, that your heart doesn't, if you feel in your heart, I'm embarrassed speaking about this sunnah or practicing this sunnah, then iman is finished. No link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No link. Embarrassment? No link. So we have to wipe this away today. Remove the veil, the parda. Allah give me courage. Whatever happens, but I'm going to live my life according to the sunnah. Allah, you are the one who gives. I know there's no loss in the sunnah. That's it. Allah, please bring me onto the path, the journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah and his practice. Allah give me and you the tawfiq. Whatever I've said, may Allah give me the tawfiq. May Allah give you the amal, the tawfiq. Don't waste this night. And mashallah, ibadah we're going to do. But the biggest important point tonight, which Allah Ta'ala loves the most, and these things we have to practice upon, and the things that are lacking in our life, let's fulfill them. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.